for today. André, good morning. With the team.
Good morning, Chair.
Yeah.
I will proceed with calling the names of members who are on the platform, Chair, just to confirm their attendance. Mrs. Hermans?
Honorable
Morning,
Hermans?
Chair, present.
Good morning. Welcome.
Mr.
Honorable Mbuyane?
Chairperson, good morning. Good morning.
Sawubona,
Yeah.
Yes.
Chairperson, Ms. Mutahun?
Honorable Mutahun?
Good morning, Chair, I'm present.
Good morning, welcome.
Mr. Cuthbert, Chair?
Honorable Cuthbert?
Good morning, Chair.
Thank you, welcome.
Chair, Mr. Mulder, Chair?
Honorable Mulder?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues.
Morning, morning, morning. Welcome.
Mr. Burns Lamashe, Chair.
Honorable Burns Lamashe.
Odaslano.
Molo. Welcome, Tata.
Amalu. Thank you.
Okay.
Chair.
Morning.
Are the other members are trying, two other members are trying to get onto the platform, but we'll assist them in the process, Chair. That's Ms. Mwatse, Chair, and Mr. McPherson. And we have received an apology from Ms.
I'm here, André.
Oh, you are? Sorry, my apologies, Chief. Okay.
And also, Ms. André.
They were just admitted while I was talking to you, Chair.
Okay.
Member waiting here as well, Chair.
There we go.
Yeah. Honorable Mwatse, Honorable McPherson, Honorable String,
yeah.
Honorable members, welcome. Good morning. Mm. Yeah. So, Secretary, I think we do have sufficient number for our meeting to proceed. If you can be able to flight our agenda for today's meeting.
Chair?
Okay. Yes.
Chair, we have some apologies, Chair, if I may.
Yes, please.
Chair, we have an apology from Ms. Yaku, who is attending the PC on Justice meeting this morning. And we also have apologies from the Minister and the two Deputy Ministers who's attending a Cabinet meeting, as well as the DG who will not be attending this morning. He's on an oversight visit at one of the manufacturers, Chair.
Okay.
And if Chairperson will submit an apology on behalf of the CEO of the NAF, Chair.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that part. Maybe first, Secretariat, with the information you've just given, it does actually confirm that we are constituted to be able to proceed with the meeting.
That's right.
We will record and note all the apologies as submitted. And I think what might be quite important is just to indicate that we are proceeding in today's meeting with actually the discussion that was held yesterday. I think with all the issues that we will be looking at, you might find that it will be quite important that we do actually make the link. Because on most of the issues that have actually come up, the strategic and very important issue before us is around recovery and issue of reconstruction. Obviously, I think as a portfolio committee on this space, we in ensuring that we have an oversight, we actually have to ensure that there is implementation and we can be able to see impact of the work that is actually before us. So I think the part of challenges that may be linked to what we may be going through today, but not specifically in terms of the presentation, because when we look at implementation, there should be level of coordination, level of ensuring that there's management and administration that ensures that everything that we did...
Any apologies that we have today?
We actually have to...
Honourable Members, Minister PM, and our colleagues at large. We have apologies from... One apologies from the Honorable Shabalala. She's not.
It looks like there's an overlap with another committee. I'm not sure, Secretariat.
Okay, we will attend to that. Okay, I do not understand. We will try to attend to that.
No.
I think Wayne is double parked. He's attending two committees at once.
Well, probably. Okay. You never know. It will be all the members that are running between two meetings at the same time.
Hey, my apologies. I raise my hand to inform that I actually do have a, and I'm not sure if you've seen my hand raised.
Yes,
you do. But I did indicate, just to indicate that I do have another committee meeting. It's Public Works. So, I'm going to be transitioning, unfortunately, chairs soon.
Oh, no, at least the process, you are getting better, Honorable Drink, because you have brought the other meeting into ours. So, which is quite fine.
Okay, thank you.
But we always appreciate the kind of program you have to run on, because you're actually managing two in one. Thank you very much, Honorable Ring. It's part of the apologies that you'll be running between the two meetings. Let me just proceed by just saying there will be issues we'll have to look at when we look at the presentations today. And in terms of our discussion on the program, obviously, we would actually have to look at other engagement and other areas where there is work relating to COVID-19 specifically, because it affects everything that we're actually looking at. So while we're looking at the program, I would want to actually just check with the members, because we'll take the presentation of the NEF and we'll take the presentation of the IDC. And we will actually then take comments and questions after the two, or do one at a time. Secretariat?
Mrs. Hammond, thanks. All right, it's raised, Chair.
Was that Hammond?
Mrs. Hammond.
Oh.
Good morning, Chair.
Yeah.
I think in your excitement to hear what the IDC and the NEF are saying, you forgot to ask us to adopt the agenda.
I'm actually working towards that. So I think maybe the point one is actually hoping for that we can actually get the adoption of the agenda. Thank you, Honorable Hammonds. Adoption of the agenda. Can I actually ask that members indicate if they still proceed on what we agreed upon on the two presentations?
Chair,
Mr.
Mbuyane's hand is raised, Chair.
Honorable Mbuyane.
Chairperson, good morning. I propose that we adopt the agenda as it is. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Chair.
Honorable Mutau.
Thank you, Chair. I second the adoption of the agenda.
No, thank you very much. Then we actually can be able to move to check if ever there's any objection in the absence. We will actually then ask that we move and take the presentations. I think the understanding I have is that we will take each of the presentations and then take questions for clarity and engagement after I have taken both, or should we take one at a time, Secretariat? Was there any suggestion we have on that?
Chair, you made a proposal whether to have both presentations and then have a question and answer session, or alternatively have each NEF followed by questions and IDC followed by questions. The committee didn't express themselves on it yet, Chair, so they do not know.
Okay. Honourable members?
Mr. Mbuyane, Chair.
Honorable Mbuyane.
Chairperson, thank you. I think, Chairperson, we can give the department and the NEF to give us the presentation. Then we'll have one discussion, because we're talking recover both of the presentation. Thank you.
So we'll take both and take discussions after. Is that your suggestion? Mbuyane is suggesting that.
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Let me just check from other members. Can we proceed in that order? You're comfortable with that? That we take both presentations, then actually take discussions after that.
Mr. Kamashe, Chair?
Honorable Namashe.
Thank you very much, Chair. I support the proposal.
Okay. Can we then proceed with the presentation? Obviously, we do have the department, DTIC. We do have the two entities, NEF and IDC. And I think one wanted just to make sure that at least we would actually be able to get the department and be able to actually then pick up the two presentation and then take discussions after that. I'm not sure from the department who will be actually leading the process, if I can actually get the confirmation, and request that the department's DTIC representative can be able to actually introduce the presentations of the NEF and the IDC. Can I check, Secretary, from the DTIC?
Chair, my last communication I received is that the NEF and the IDC will be the only presenters this morning. The senior management of DTIC are on the platform to assist with any questions coming after deliberations. But we should start with the NEF presentation, Chair.
Okay. Let me just check. So there's no one from the department currently present? Okay.
Chair, they're on the platform, Chair, but they're not going to start the proceedings. The NEF will start proceedings and they will assist during the course of the deliberations, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can I actually ask the NEF to come in? I'm amazed to understand that they might be the chairperson of the NEF board, and who will actually be making a presentation, and I am informed that there's bereavement. Yeah, there's bereavement on the side of the CEO of the NEF. I think we should actually pass the condolences of the committee on the basis of that. Allow me to welcome the chairperson to actually then introduce the process to us and then take the presentation. Good morning, Chairperson. Welcome. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair. Thank you for this opportunity to present at the Portfolio Committee this morning. I'd like to apologize on behalf of our Chief Executive Officer. I think you have, Ms. Felisiwe Mketwa. You have explained the circumstances, and your condolences are recorded, and we will pass it on to the Buthelezi family. Chair, I would like to take this opportunity to introduce the team from the NEF that are on the call this morning. Ms. Shilengiwe Makatini, our Divisional Executive for Venture Capital and Corporate Finance. She'll be leading the presentation that we've prepared. Also on the call with us is Mr. Mzi Daimani, who is the Chief Legal Counsel at the NEF, as well as Moemisi Motsepe, who is the Head of Marketing at the NEF. Chair, we welcome the opportunity, and let me just hand over straight to Ms. Makatini.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Ms. Makatini. You can take us through. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to you and to the honorable members this morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity for the NEF to talk about what our contribution is going to be towards the economic recovery. To the honorable members, I am aware that the presentation is long, but most of the slides are really for your own reading pleasure when you have time. So I will be focusing on the slides that are responding directly to the question. The first slide obviously is just talking to the mandate of the NEF, which I'm sure that the honorable members are already aware of. The next slide is talking about our strategic outcomes which are around providing funding to business ventures that are managed and owned by black people, and is to really make sure that as a DFI we are sustainable so that we can continue to support black businesses. The next slide just briefly highlights our strategic planning framework, just demonstrating that as the NEF, the sectors that we choose are the sectors that government, you know, has highlighted in the industrial objectives, and also our responses to providing funding and solutions are to make sure that we support government in delivering on the priorities that the honourable members are aware of. For the current you know, period, our priorities, our strategic priorities are mainly three. The first one is to achieve, you know, and enhance what we call the empowerment dividend, which I will try and unpack later on, to make sure that the kind of support we provide is sustainable and truly empowering, to achieve financial sustainability for the NEF, and to implement public-private partnerships to make sure that we co-find and we leverage third, you know, private sector, third-party funding to be able to touch more lives and to create more business opportunities. The honourable members will be very familiar with the next slide, which shows our life-to-date performance. Needless to say that as the NEF over the years, we have been able to disperse into the economy 7.3 billion rand, supporting real black businesses that have been creating jobs. We've been able to support just close to just over 103,000 job opportunities, which 70,000 of which were actually new jobs. The next slide is just highlighting, you know, the fact that the money we invest in the economy does come back. Of the 7.4 billion, we have been able to collect over 3.7 billion of the money, so it allows us to recycle the money. When the other entrepreneurs pay, we are then able to fund other entrepreneurs, and our ability to collect the money is really around effective portfolio management and entrenching a culture of repayments with our entrepreneurs. The next slide is very important in terms of supporting economic recovery, because with the limited resources that as a DFI we have, and we all know that the fiscus also has constraints, it is very important that you are able to leverage money from the private sector to actually support black businesses and grow them. And this slide just demonstrates that last to date as the NEF, we've been able to leverage 8.8 billion from other third party funding, and in the last financial year where we assessed this, we're able to leverage 67% of the money that we invested. So we invested just close to 400 million, and we're able to raise another 780 million from the private sector. And this strategy is very critical, honorable members, to make sure that, you know, we support black businesses and we partner across the spectrum, as this slide will demonstrate. We've partnered with oil majors, partnered with the likes of PicknPay, other SOEs, just to make sure that we get, you know, affordable funding that will help the black businesses that we fund as the NEF to be sustainable and to be able to create jobs. The next slide, Chair and Honourable Members, is just a demonstration that as the NEF, other than just getting co-funding from other, you know, private sector parties, partners, we have also been able to actually attract other parties to bring their money to us. So this is just a list of funds that we've managed for other different partners, both in the public sector and in the private sector. So over the years, we've been able to raise close to a billion rands that we have managed as the NEF. The honourable members are well aware of how we are structured as the NEF. We remain structured that way to make sure that we respond effectively to the needs of the different, you know, levels of black entrepreneurs that will approach the NEF. The slide on non-financial support is always an important one to remind the honourable members that as the NEF we believe that provision of funding alone is not sufficient to create sustainability and to help the economy to be turned around. To have an effective turnaround of the economy, you need to make sure that the businesses that you have and the businesses that you fund are sustainable, and you need to make sure that you give them all the tools that will help them to be sustainable. And our non-financial support work help us with that. In all that we do as the NEF, we are striving to maximize what we call the empowerment dividend, which is really around making sure that we touch as many lives of black people as possible, making sure that the black people that we support are the ones who are in control of those businesses, giving more opportunities to other black people, making sure that women are part of those opportunities, creating jobs, making sure that we support black people to be part of growth sectors, and to also touch businesses that are in the rural provinces, and we don't just focus in the big cities only. We have in the past spoken about the sectors that we have funded by the NEF, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. Needless to say that, we touch almost all sectors of the NEF, and there are very few sectors that we don't do, because we understand that black people need to, be properly represented in all the various sectors of the economy. This is just a pictorial depiction of how we are represented in the different provinces. We are working hard to make sure that, even the provinces where the representation is currently small, we really work hard to increase and make sure that black entrepreneurs in those spaces also have access to the NEF funding. The honorable members already know the slide around the capacity, but this slide is very important when we talk about, how we're going to help going forward, because as the NEF, we do have the capability, we do have the skills of people to be able to deliver in the turnaround of the economy. The next slide is really honorable members, the crux of our contribution to the turnaround. So obviously this excludes the money that comes from our own balance sheet as the NEF. The funding that the DGIC has allocated to us, as the NEF, we are really working hard to make sure that black people also contribute to the turnaround of the economy. So when the pandemic started last year, the DGIC trusted us with 200 million rands to roll out what was called the NEF COVID-19 Black Business Fund. We've recently been given 150 million rands for the Economic Distress Fund, and we're in the process of actually getting 160 million rands for the Women Empowerment Fund. I'll unpack each one of them later on. And in this slide, Honorable Chair, we're just trying to, in one slide show how we are going to try and respond to the economic recovery plan. So this is our action plan. So the key issues that we want to look at is, how to have mass public employment interventions around what are we going to do around infrastructure investments, what are we going to do around localization and reindustrialization, what is our role in the energy security and green economy, the tourism recovery and growth, food security, and of course, supporting the black youth and women through gender equality and economic inclusion. So going straight to slide 21. So this is then an overview of our response to economic recovery. The COVID-19 Black Business Fund is really a fund that was set up to ensure that we help black businesses to manufacture and supply healthcare products and essential foods in fighting the pandemic. And as a result of those funds, the NEF was able to create 1,466 jobs. We're currently in the process of implementing the Economic Distress Fund. And, we also as the NEF
came up with our own COVID-19 relief measures for businesses that were already clients of the NEF, where we set aside 50 million rand to help them with what we call critical needs funds, helping them with repayment holidays, and you know, making sure that they are able to keep the lights on in their businesses. And through all those interventions, the NEF was able to sustain just over 50,000 jobs. And, you know, as I was saying earlier on, we are about to also implement the Women Empowerment Fund. When we, if we then move to slide 23, it is then a summary, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, of what we did with the COVID-19 at Black, you know, Business Fund. And what I need to highlight here is that, you know, we were able to support 33 Black businesses that are in the manufacturing space for healthcare products, and those who are also in agro-processing were providing essential foods in fighting the pandemic. And these 33 transactions were funded with 166 million rands from the DIC's, you know, 200 million and 41 million from the NEF. So we still have some funds that are left, and obviously, as you know, a country, as we are, you know, getting strong around the pandemic and how we are managing it, the demand for some of the healthcare products has reduced. So the demand for the money to manufacture is also not as aggressive as it was when we started. We received a total of 395 applications valued at 2.1 billion, which is an indication of how much need it is out there by Black businesses. But, I mean, obviously, with the limited resources, you have to try and identify the best of the best to make sure that the money that you invest, you get it back. Slide 24 is just, you know, a depiction of the kind of products and that, you know, we supported through the fund. On slide 25, the fund that you are now currently working very hard in actually implementing, we launched the fund a week and a half ago, and the level of applications we are getting is you know, overwhelming. But you know, we, as the NEF, we believe that we are up to the task, and we have set up a very strict criteria to make sure that the businesses that we fund will really contribute to the turnaround of the economy. So we want to look at businesses that are currently in financial distress because of COVID, and they are currently not able to fund their operating activities. But if they get the necessary support, they'll be able to, you know, recover jobs and also retain jobs. But it must be businesses that have been around for at least 3 years and that employ at least 10 people, because, as I was saying, Honourable Chair, because the resources are limited, we need to make sure that where we invest, the level of impact is as high as possible. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to go through all the examples. You know, we just have put some examples of the kind of transactions, but I'll just talk to slide 29, Moemis, on the Goma Resource Development. So we just want to demonstrate to the honourable members that we already are working on projects that have got a high likelihood to create jobs, and also not just create jobs in the urban areas, but create jobs in the rural areas. We have partnered with cooperatives in Mpumalanga who are currently, growers of cotton, and we are at very advanced stages of finalizing the actual, development of a plant, of a ginning plant, where they can beneficiate what they produce in their farm. And we are working with various stakeholders, including the provincial government in Mpumalanga, to make sure that this project becomes a reality and it delivers on the jobs, because it has a likelihood of creating about 16,000 jobs, especially from the farming operations that will be needed to bring inputs into the gin. Moving on then, one of the priorities in the economic recovery is around infrastructure investment. And, you know, as the NEF, we really believe that it is important for Black people to play an important role in industrialization. And our approach is to make sure that we're creating new capacity in terms of manufacturing and industrial, creating jobs, and, you know, increasing co-investment and foreign direct investment opportunities for black businesses. I will then just jump the slides and just move to slide 35, which is a demonstration of how over the years the NEF has been able to support black people in different sectors to become industrialists, having invested just over 7.7 billion in funding black people to become industrialists. Another important aspect of infrastructure, Honorable Chair and members, is around affordable housing, affordable and social housing. The Honorable Members will appreciate the amount of resources the government is putting towards, you know, this initiative. And as the NEF, we are working hard with the Department of Human Settlements together with its agencies, including the SHRA, to make sure that where there are opportunities for developers of these properties, that black people are also, you know, are given a good opportunity, and, you know, the opportunities are unlocked through the NEF providing innovative funding solutions to make sure that they provide sustainable housing solutions for our people. We're also working very hard with student accommodation, working with different institutions of higher learning to make sure that black developers who are getting these opportunities are properly funded and they create the necessary jobs to make sure that, you know, our students and our children get proper accommodation. Slide 38 is just a summary of some of the transactions we've done, both in affordable housing and social housing and student accommodation. And in creating infrastructure, we've just shown some examples, including this one, of a semi-private school that was developed in Jozini, which, you know, is now catering for close to 400 students in that rural area, giving them good quality education. And so there's a number of examples of, you know, social housing and so forth. Can you please move to slide 43, Mwemisi, where we then talking about, you know, the projects we are working on that are going to assist in creating employment and also localization and in reindustrialization. The Honorable Members might be aware that, you know, the country currently imports the majority of the condoms that are provided by the Department of Health, you know, to South Africans to, you know, promote safety and so forth. As the NEF, we are working with the black women, so this business is 51% black women owned, and we are working with the East London IDZ, where, you know, this plant is going to be set up. And the beautiful thing is that these entrepreneurs are already in this space supplying condoms to government, and they are just bringing, you know, back home the manufacture of these condoms, and in the process creating jobs and, you know, strengthening our export capacity in the long run. Another project that we are very proud of that we are working on, also very close to implementation to create jobs and have a turnaround in localization, is the, you know, manufacture of dialyzers in KZN. We are working with the Dubai Trade Port, SEZ, in making sure that these entrepreneurs, two women who come from the healthcare sector, are also able to realize the dream of making sure that we reduce the level of import of dialyzers in South Africa. In the energy and green economy sector, Honorable Chair, if we go to slide 48, this is just a summary of the work we have done in partnership with the oil majors in making sure that black people play a meaningful role in the value chain, especially the retail side of you know, energy. And through our interventions, we have invested close to 900 million rand, supporting 110 fuel stations, 44% of which have been, you know, women-owned. And we continue to have successful exits And this is also a partnership where, you know, the private sector also puts their money in supporting these black businesses. And this renewable energy project, which is groundbreaking, is something that we are working on together with the CSIR and the University of Potchefstroom. Tourism sector, you know, has always been an important sector for us, and we understand why the government has also identified it as a priority sector for the turnaround of the economy. We have been working in this sector for some time, such as in 2018 we partnered with the National Department of Tourism to set up the Tourism Transformation Fund, and we have been able to really touch, you know, lives in different provinces and rural areas, creating beautiful tourism infrastructure and establishment, and we've you know, supported over 950 jobs. And we realized during you know, the hard lockdown that our businesses in the tourism sector were really hard, they really had hard times. And as the NEF, we came up with different solutions to try and assist them, and we continue to do that. I have just put two examples of deals that we've done in the tourism sector. On slide 53 is the Hertford Gorge, which, you know, we are very excited that they've been able to recover very, very fast. So the moment the lockdown levels were reduced, they started seeing people coming to visit, and they are now able to, you know, repay the NEF. The Josini Tiger Lodge is an investment we did in rural KZN as well, where the community members who own, you know, the land are part of the shareholding structure. I have also, you know, just shown some of the recent transactions we've done, you know, during the lockdown, Golden Dust, where we're helping this business to be even more efficient in producing very important staple foods, you know, for the country during the pandemic. And Impupu Mills also produces maize milling in KZN. And there's a project that also has a potential to create lots of jobs in the Limpopo province that we are working with the DBSA in trying to finalize and implement. On slide 61, Honorable Chair, just a summary of how we as the NEF has supported young people over the years, having invested close to 400 million rand in 55 youth-owned businesses. And most of the deals that we have done in the fourth industrial revolution space are actually owned and led by young black people. And we've just made an example here of Rica Tech, where the NEF has invested 15 million rand to help these young people implement this great technological innovation. Similarly to Quick Locate, a transaction that is based in the Western Cape, we have supported a young person also coming up with a system that helps, and it works mostly with the taxi industry. We have obviously also done a lot of work in the creative industries and media, and most of the businesses we've supported there are owned by black people, by young people. And what we are realizing is that, you know, now there is even higher innovation around how to reach audiences, and we're seeing our clients being able to continue creating jobs. And with, you know, resources being available to us as the NEF, we'll be able to do even more in this sector because we understand how the sector works. On slide 67, Honorable Chair, is a summary of, you know, what we've done for women. We've funded, you know, close to 1.7 billion in women-owned businesses. And, you know, with the Women Empowerment Fund that the DTIC has allocated to us, we'll be able to also find women businesses that are sustainable, that are going to contribute to the recovery of the economy and create jobs. So we've also just put some examples of the transactions that we have done in this space, in the construction sector for ELAS, Housing and Civils, and on the next slide, in the manufacturing sector, which is also a beautiful story, because this entrepreneur started as you know, just manufacturing or making uniforms mostly for Pick and Pay, but with the advent of the pandemic, they were able to be agile and responsive, and now also manufacture you know, the masks, and they are doing very well. On slide 71, Che, you know, there are a lot of opportunities for us to work together with other DTI agencies to make sure that some of these transactions that need funding to be fully commercialized and create jobs, you know, come into fruition. Thank you very much, Che. I have come to the end of the presentation.
Okay. Hello. I think we can proceed to the next presentation, as suggested. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members. My name is Lucy Mabuza. I'm here actually in support of my colleagues from the Industrial Development Corporation, the CEO, Mr. Tipin Chocho, who will be leading a very capable team, including Ms. Joanne Bate, who is the Chief Operations Officer, Mr. Isaac Malevu, our new Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Josephine Tsele, the Chief Risk Officer, and somebody who's very familiar to this committee, Mr. David Jarvis, our Divisional Executive for Strategy and Corporate Affairs. So, Chair, I won't waste any time. Our colleagues will take us through the IDC presentation. We appreciate this opportunity. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Ndati Chocho. I'm sure you can take us through. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and greetings to you, Chairperson, and the members of the committee. And thank you to the Chairperson of the Board for the introduction. I will now proceed to take us through this presentation. We appreciate the opportunity granted to us by the committee to share the IDC's plans and activities in respect of making a contribution to the country's economic recovery and reconstruction. And Chairperson, we start off by really contextual slides that is on the screen to say that we all are aware of the difficulties that we are going through economically, and that various countries through the instruments of fiscal policy and monetary policy are doing everything in our power, in their power, to sustain their economies. Our country is no different. Specific in terms of our geography in Sub-Sahara, growth really to remain fairly muted, and therefore many of the countries remaining in a state of vulnerability in terms of their fiscal strength. Yes, as we will show in the next couple of slides, our own country has seen a contraction in the economy, but forecasting a rebound in GDP in the coming year and modest growth over the next number of years. So the subject of today, Chairperson, as we all know, is what the institutions are doing and plan to do more going forward in support of the various efforts for reconstruction and economic recovery. Chairperson, this particular slide, please forgive us for, you know, providing a little bit of a busy slide, but in essence, what we are trying to show here, Chairperson, members of committee, is where the various major economic regions of the world are sitting in terms of their economic status, and reflecting so because South Africa is a very globally connected economy, And indeed, many of the businesses and enterprises that the IDC finances are global players. They sell product and they buy material from all over the world. I think two notable areas that we can have a look here, Chairperson, I would like to start with China. It's very interesting when you look at that blog in China that says it is the only country which, in terms of the red dot, has managed to avoid a contraction in its economy. And indeed, its growth as forecast over the next number of years is a robust, almost 8% rebound for the coming 2021, and averaging probably around 5.5-6% in the intervening years. So China, a notable exception in terms of its robustness. South Africa itself, on the right-hand side of this graph, we are just showing, Chairperson, that indeed that long red line to the bottom showing that we saw a contraction in the economy this past financial year, or this past year, 2020. And then in terms of the green column, forecasting a recovery, a rebound in economy of somewhere in the order of around 2.5%, maybe 3% or so. But the average over the next number of years in terms of economic growth to be, we forecast in the order of 2.5%, maybe or so percent. So really this is the purpose of the slides, just to show where we sit in the economic global context. The points that are indicated here, Chairperson, I have just touched on. To say South Africa's GDP contracted over 8%, but forecasting a modest growth into the future. And associated with that is our estimates going forward of the extent of possible fixed investment in the economy. This is an important measure of economic growth and the expansion of the economic pie. So it is a ratio or a measure of economic performance that all of us are and should be interested in. Going forward, Chairperson, we are now talking specific matters to the IDC. And we always start off, Chairperson, by reflecting on the mandate of the organization as encapsulated in the IDC Act, and that quote or extract on the left-hand side of the screen really just summarizes what the reason for our existence is. Inclusive of that, of course, are imperatives relating to employment creation, as well as economic inclusion, black economic empowerment, empowerment of women and young people. So we simply are saying, Chairperson, the IDC continues to operate within its policy mandate and indeed aligning very well to the policy imperatives of the country in terms of transformation, small business development, and geographic distribution of benefits across the nation. In terms of the next slide, Chairperson, again here, these are the sectors primarily that the IDC focuses on. Why it is important to mention these is because there are certain specific exclusions that we do not cover. We can make an example, for instance, the IDC used to support in the retail environment, franchises, and so on. But with a strategy repositioning a couple of years ago to focus primarily on sectors that are of an industrial nature, and that are very much core to the industrialization program of the country. So mining is still there, energy, infrastructure development, as well as various manufacturing sectors, including the chemical sector, and very important, agriculture and agro-processing, and we will cover these in detail in the next few slides, including tourism, as well as services such as healthcare and automotive media industries. So this is the scope of coverage of the sectors that we operate in. This next slide, Chairperson, is an important one because we show here the impact, the extent to which those sectors that are served by the IDC, the kind of impact that they have in fixed capital formation in the country, the extent to which these sectors drive the expansion of the economy. Starting at the bottom, you can see infrastructure and then energy and then the chemical sector and the automotive sector. To the top, the agro sector as well as mining. Why this is so important is because these sectors, to the extent there is enough capital flows into the economy, to the extent that these sectors are opened up and there's greater investment flows, then we stand a better chance as a country of lifting our GDP growth, hopefully in the process creating more jobs, driving economic inclusion transformation, as well as wider social economic benefits. Moving forward, Chair, we reflect here that with the onset of the pandemic at the beginning of last year, 2020, there are programs or initiatives that the IDC embarked upon to support government and businesses to cope with the effects of the COVID pandemic. The first one was the various efforts that we made in providing funding to businesses for the supply of what are called essential supplies. So those materials, the ones that are mentioned or listed on the right-hand side of the screen, disinfectants and surgical instruments and so on, we funded businesses that manufactured or imported such material in order to make them available to the nation to be able to cope with the effects of the pandemic. And up to now, of that 800 million rand, over 530 million rand or so was approved towards this scheme. And then, of course, the second one was the money that we set aside in order to help businesses to transition, to cope through the distress period of COVID into the future. So, indeed, what we have done here is in two ways. Firstly, it is to offer certain capital and interest repayment concessions or deferments, as we call them. And in the second instance, the actual approvals of funding to various projects. To this date, about close to 800 million in various concessionary measures of deferment and capital moratorium, and approved to date 241 million rand worth of transactions. The take-up has not been as robust and as fast as we would have hoped for. We have embarked since last year already in a marketing and remarketing and remarketing and republicizing of this scheme in order to attract as many applications as possible so that we can support various businesses that are in distress as a consequence of the impact of COVID. And that is inclusive of the MSEP money that we received from the Department of Trade and Industry. Chairperson, when we move forward and now come to the crux of the matter in terms of efforts towards economic reconstruction and recovery. On the left-hand side, shaded in blue, is really an extract of the key focus areas as announced by the President, talking about energy, creation of work, infrastructure development, ICT sector, as well as addressing the manufacturing sector from a localization and reindustrialization perspective. And of course, efforts to reignite the tourism sector subject to the reopening of movements of people and things like that. So the focus areas that the IDC has, which are clearly aligned to the economic recovery and reconstruction efforts. Firstly, industrialization with a lot of emphasis on localization, and we will provide a couple of details in the slides that are coming. Energy as well, we will show a significant pipeline of projects that we are already working on. In the second instance, in the area of infrastructure, we will do the same. Agriculture, we will indicate how important it is and how increasingly we believe a greater portion of our investment will go in that area. Fifth chairperson, we have a mandate to work in the rest of the continent. So with the introduction or the launch of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, the IDC has a clear strategy in terms of geographies that we will focus on, how we will approach projects in those geographies, co-financing and partnering with partner organizations. And of course, we will indicate shortly the work that we are doing with regards to spatial development in the provinces and districts, focusing on industrial zone or small special economic zones, as they are called. And running throughout all this, Chairperson, we want to emphasize is the imperative for transformation, greater inclusion of previously disadvantaged individuals in the economy, advancing the cause of transformation at the center of the IDC's activities. Chairperson, this is a very important slide because it indicates the opportunity spectrum for economic growth as we see it at the IDC. On the left-hand side, the colors, basically the green colors indicate those sectors that we believe, based on our analysis, hold greater potential for growth and rapid recovery in the short to medium term, and indeed for underpinning robust growth in the long term. When you start at the bottom, Chairperson, you can see we have colored the agriculture and agro-processing sector green because we believe it represents a significant area of growth. So is the media, but more important, the next one is tourism. Based on the movement of people, and the point to make about tourism is that the assets are there, the assets are still physically there, so the hotels are there, the lodges are there, the various establishments are there. They have just suffered lack of bookings and travel numbers as a consequence of economic lockdown or lockdown arising out of the COVID. So we believe with the kind of things that are happening nationally and globally around vaccination, the opening up of borders, increased travel of people, we foresee tourism, we believe, is likely to recover very quickly, and therefore we keep it on our radar screen as a priority area. In the manufacturing areas around chemicals and medicals and other industrial minerals, we see that as an important area of focus as well. The automotive sector, members of this committee will definitely be aware of the investments that have been led by the Department of Trade and Industry and Competitions in the automotive sector in recent times. And what we are already seeing and what we have already done in the past is to finance a lot of component manufacturers who supply into these big vehicle producers, the OEMs, original equipment manufacturers. They have interesting and very complex supply chains, and so they are expanding their supply base, and the IDC has, over many years, and continues to expand its financing programs into the supply base of the automotive and the transportation sector. Energy is indeed a standout case, given the opening up of the policy environment that is happening at the Department of Energy in respect of, for instance, the gas to power projects. Secondly, distributed energy systems or self-generation systems, particularly using solar, where individual businesses or even households and companies and real estate companies all over the country are indeed already embracing a lot of initiatives and projects of self-generation using solar solutions. Technologies have advanced very well in this regard, and these solutions are proving viable. And so we do have a significant pipeline of transactions in excess of 5 billion rand already in that space that we are looking into. The same with infrastructure, and here we are talking about water infrastructure, about telecoms infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, ports, and other logistics hubs, indeed a significant area of investment for the IEC. We are working in partnership with both the Development Bank of Southern Africa in this area, as well as the Infrastructure Investment Office in the Presidency, primarily in the area of project development, early stage project preparation, where we seek to work with sponsors of projects to conduct feasibility, to do the modeling and the design of the projects in the early phases so that they are bankable and they are investable and can attract funding. So we're doing that in order to unlock growth opportunities in this space. We move on, Chairperson, to the next set of slides. And we show here, as I've just indicated, there's a lot of detail, but in short, in the area of energy, these are the various projects that we are already looking into, both in South Africa as well as some of them are located in the SADC region. A lot of them are indeed happening, arising out of the policy enablement that has been provided by the policy changes that are happening in the Department of Energy. So there is a project work in the area of battery storage. We are supporting the gas to power projects, as I've indicated. And a lot of them are structured in such a way that they have a lot of empowerment elements built into them, including community-based and worker participation structures. Next, Chairperson, in the area of infrastructure, we're looking at those expansion projects of water schemes, as well as the logistics hubs that are indicated there by way of industrial parks. So this is the scale of our involvement, and indeed we are fortunate in a sense that international development finance organizations such as KfW from Germany, AFD, the French, as well as our own new development bank, they have all been very, very, very supportive of the IDC in terms of providing lines of credit as well as funds for deployment, particularly into the infrastructure sector. Moving on, Chairperson, what we are indicating here really in the agriculture and the agro-processing space, we believe here there are massive and very, very, very big opportunities for the IDC to play an even stronger hand. At the bottom there, we show emerging industries around hydroponics, as well as biorefineries and so on. So we are partnering with the Department of Agriculture and Land Reform and Rural Development. We have just as recently as last week concluded a memorandum of agreement with them in terms of which they are allocating 1 billion rand, and that fund will then be deployed side by side with IDC's own capital in order to expand the sector with a particular focus on agro-processing, on value adding. And this is likely to be a very rural and small towns oriented program, given that you know, many of the opportunities lie there, and indeed the multiplier effect that we are looking for in terms of enterprise development and employment creation, we believe are likely to arise in a rural and small town type spaces. Moving on to a person, in the area of tourism, we just want to bring to the attention of the committee what we already mentioned, and that is that our portfolio of companies that we have funded really have suffered a lot in the tourism space, massive job losses. A lot of them are not trading in a viable trajectory at the moment. The occupancy rates are way down, the revenues are way down, and indeed, as indicated on the right-hand side at the top there, our own default rate on the loans has gone up. The arrears have increased from last year or 2 years ago by almost 10 to 20% or so to around 40% where they are. So this is a particularly hemorrhaging sector, but as per my earlier remarks, we do believe that we have to stay with this investment and not be too quick to maybe close them or anything like that. We believe they will recover, and they will recover faster, given that the investments are already in existence. Moving on, Chairperson, just a brief reflection to say that the activities of the Industrial Development Corporation are aligned from a policy perspective with the national imperatives. Secondly, aligned with the transformation imperatives that the nation is pursuing in terms of diversifying the supply base, expanding benefits to communities and historically disadvantaged individuals and communities, driving black economic empowerment, and we do this all in partnership with our sister organizations. And our focus on small business, Chairperson, or SME, is driven by this concept that we have come to call SME Connect. Basically, what we're saying is, as we do major big projects in the various regions of the country, we deliberately look for opportunities to connect local small businesses into the supply chains of those big factories or big mining projects that we are undertaking, to enable these small businesses to connect into the value chains or the supply chains of major big industrial establishments that the IDC or government is involved in. So we are driving this very actively through our regional offices. We have provincial offices throughout the country, and our officials are on the ground looking for opportunities to say, a big mining company, what kind of products and services do they buy? And the small businesses in the area, be it producers of chemicals or bottling material or steel material and clothing and so on, textile products, and looking for opportunities to supply into big business. Moving on, Chairperson, this is a good slide, we believe, as an example of what we are trying to do in the Northern Cape in order to drive integrated development. The essence of this is that the IDC is already financing various mining ventures in the East, in the Northern Cape. In the second instance, we are then, in line with our energy strategy that I explained earlier, pushing to get projects for self-generation and distributed energy systems across the various opportunity points in the province. At the same time, we recognize the opportunities for agro-processing as well as the SME Connect. Included in this entire scheme of things are the various industrial parks that are located around the various towns in the Northern Cape, and indeed working with the Department of Trade and Industry as well as the relevant municipalities and the province, we are working to support the development development of the infrastructure around these industrial parks in the first instance, and in the second instance, the promotion of investors into those parks, and in the third instance, to provide the industrial financing that is required by the industries themselves in order to build their production capacities. So this is a sort of a big plan that we are executing in the Northern Cape area, and it is replicable on a bespoke basis to various other parts of the country. Moving forward, Chairperson, I mentioned earlier on that as part of our contribution to the implementation of the Africa Common Free Trade Agreement, we are pursuing this approach of firstly targeting certain specific countries and geographies. We don't want to be a jack of all trades going everywhere and everywhere. But we believe there are certain countries, and I will show them in the next slide, that hold greater potential for growth, and we believe we should focus on them, and they also have greater economic and trade connectivity with South Africa. And so that is that. And how we intend to do this is that we don't want to go alone into these jurisdictions. We have learned some bitter lessons. And so our approach will be to co-finance, to co-fund, to share risk with the various players that are in those regions. For instance, in the East Africa region, you have a bigger development finance institutions there, like the Trade and Development Bank, which is based in Nairobi, Kenya. When you go up into West Africa, you have the Infrastructure Investment Fund in Ghana. And you do have as well the Africa Investment Corporation, which is operating out of Nigeria, but covers a lot of countries in that horn there in the West Africa region. And then, of course, at the center there, we're working together with other smaller regional development agencies in Rwanda and places like those. But the essence of it is about co-financing, really, and partnering. Share risk. Where we see opportunities in the next slide, and I will just pick two. For instance, as I indicated, we are not trying to be everywhere. We try to choose certain specific locations or countries because they hold particular potential. An example, for instance, is we already have a tin mining investment in the DRC, and there are opportunities to expand there. But that mineral is important for South Africa's own battery industry development, as well as supply into the electronics manufacturing industry in our own country. So that is the strategic relevance of the DRC, for instance, as a location. If you take Mozambique, large gas resources that I'm sure members are aware of, they are relevant to South Africa to the extent that we are trying to move towards a lot of gas to energy generation, but also alternative uses of gas to power other forms of industrial uses in the country. And so those are just the two examples that I'm making, Chairperson, to show that we deliberately choose where we want to go on the African continent and relate that to South Africa's own strategic interests. Moving forward, Chairperson, we just reflect here some aggregate numbers of what the IDC has done over the past number of years, substantial investments into the economy, not only in terms of industrial capacity development in excess of 120 billion invested over the past 10 years or so, but the extent of employment creation, but also important, the transformation impact of our work, how much money has gone towards supporting black business, women-owned businesses, as well as youth-owned businesses. Moving forward, Chairperson, indication of a growing part of our work, and that is that we don't only deploy money from the IDC's own balance sheet, but we work with these partners that are indicated on this slide to mobilize money from them and to deploy it into projects side by side with the IDC's own money. So the obvious ones, as mentioned earlier on, are funds from the various grant programs in the Department of Trade and Industry, such as the Agro-Processing Fund, as well as the Steel Fund. The Manufacturing Competitiveness Enhancement Program, MCEP, is a long-standing program that the IDC has been administering for many years, including the textile, the clothing and the textile ones. We are expanding this base, Chairperson, as I indicated already earlier. The Department of Agriculture, we have concluded a 1 billion rand program with them. The second one that we are working on with the Department of Economic Development in Gauteng is the creation of a potentially 200 million or 250 million rand or so SME support fund, into which the Gauteng government will provide a portion of the capital and will probably match it rand for rand and drive small business development in the region of Gauteng. So we are growing this portfolio of financing partnerships, Chairperson, because we realize the IDC's one rand can only be impactful if it is complemented with another one rand or two rand from somebody else or from another source. Moving towards the conclusion point, Chairperson, what we are underlining with this particular slide, Chair, is the importance of maintaining the financial sustainability of the Industrial Development Corporation. It has to remain on a financially sound footing. That is what is expected of the IDC by its founding legislation, but also in terms of the national policy framework around the funding of the entities of the state. The message is clear. Development finance institutions have to work from the strength of their own balance sheets. They have to remain sound in terms of liquidity. They have to remain sound in terms of solvency, so that they can undertake their development mandates. So this is very much core and very central to the work that we do every day, keeping a very close eye on the revenue profile, on the cost structure of the IDC, on the portfolio quality, on the balance sheet of the organization. Moving forward towards close, Chairperson, really, now making closing remarks in this last slide, to say yes, we continue to invest significantly in industrial capacity and we plan to do so going forward. We do have the means to do so as an organization. Second point to make is the importance of working with key partners, particularly the Department of Trade and Industry, but our sister DFIs as well, the NEF, the Development Bank of Southern Africa, and other international DFIs that have a focus on South Africa and Sub-Sahara as an area of their work. So we believe our programs, as I have outlined them, very well aligned, and we hope we have demonstrated that if we work hard and make our value contribution, we will be able to add to the efforts of the nation with regards to economic reconstruction and recovery. It is important to mention, Chairperson, that indeed the IDC's work goes far beyond just providing industrial finance, and we include a whole host of technical assistance and value-added advisory support programs around business support and the marketing support for companies and policy advisory. So, Chairperson, with your permission, we will conclude there, stating our commitment indeed to contribute meaningfully to the country's efforts Chairperson, that brings us to a conclusion of our presentation from the IDC side. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, CEO. So we will go back to the members. If ever we can just check if ever there any members would like to comment or ask questions. Honorable members, floor is yours based on the two presentations, the NEF and the IDC. Secretary, I'm sure there will be members raising hands.
Chair, I'm also waiting for members to raise their hands. Chair, nothing at the moment, Chair.
Okay. Let me just say...
we have one Chair, and
okay.
We've got another one Chair. I'll name the members. Mr. Burns Kamasi and Mr. McPherson at the moment, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Namashe and McPherson. In
followed by
order.
Ms. Mutahun, Chair.
Mutahun.
And Mr. Cuthbert, Chair.
Mutahun and Cuthbert.
At the moment, Chair.
Honorable Namashe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think, Chair, the first comment is really to appreciate both presentations by NEF and IDC. Given the challenges that we have as a country, of course, we are not in isolation. COVID-19 is a global pandemic. It has affected a number of industries. It has affected a number of businesses throughout the world. But if you compare the performance of South Africa through the strategic interventions by our institutions, the development finance institutions, and the opportunities that are there beyond COVID-19, we are fairly at a reasonably promising pedestal, and I really want to commend the leadership of these two institutions, especially the insightful presentations, fairly detailed. Perhaps what I would want to raise would be the extent of reaching out to those provinces, especially that are almost at the periphery, those that are rural. We would just encourage both IDC and NEF to rather have a rather more robust engagement in rural areas, because I do see on both institutions there's a sense at which they also look at the opportunities of optimizing the value in rural spaces, especially in the agricultural sector, whether it is agro-processing or primary production for that matter. Opportunities that they are seized with, it will be important to intensify that community outreach. We do have various local authorities, ward councillors, traditional leadership offices or institutions, where they can share the kind of information that will assist our people, because what is important is to share the knowledge. You know, without knowledge, Chair, you are disempowered. However, although it is important to gain knowledge, what becomes more critical is what do you do about that knowledge? So it's important to look at those interventions at that level, and also look at how, you know, that symbiotic tapestry between your small business and the large industries. How do you then create the synergies in ways that would symbiotically provide that interconnectivity, you know, the migration from the state of unbankability to a state where these are fully fledged, sustainable industrial institutions. Whether it's on the manufacturing, whether it's on agro-processing and so on. So that would be very important, because for as long as the people in the rural provinces, in almost in the periphery, are not taking meaningful and significant part in the mainstream economy, we will continue to have these kind of disparities where the levels of inequality are almost at an astronomic level. So that's what I would urge the committee to expedite, so as to ensure that we are as inclusive as is possible in growing our economy. Thank you very much, Chair.
Let me ask the next speaker, Honorable McPherson.
All right, thank you very much. So to start off with, I want to take a trip down memory lane regarding the NEF, which for as long as I've been around in Parliament, which is 2014, it's just one more meeting and it's one more discussion and it's one more plan away from being fully recapitalized, as it would like to refer to it as, and it's just, you know, one more discussion or one more cabinet meeting before it is rehoused in the IDC. And, you know, that's been going on for 7 years. And each year that goes past, you know, it essentially lives on grants from the DTI. It is basically a transactional institution that receives money from the DTI, which then disperses it. So the question then becomes really, what remains the point of the NEF if the IDC can do the same job? If those people who work for the NEF can be rehoused in the IDC, they could do exactly the same job and probably for a lot less than the overhead costs are of the NEF. Because the truth of the matter is that to work for the NEF is a spectacular job. They are some of the highest paid executives in any government institution. The CEO earns multiples of millions per year, around $6 million a year. The executives earn a hell of a lot of money. And, you know, they are basically a form-filling operation for the DTI. So I think really the time has come for the excuses to stop and to actually understand from the DTI when is the NEF going to be housed in the IDC fully and when is it actually going to become a fully functional, fully fledged, fully incorporated arm of the IDC, because I actually don't know now what the justifiable reasons for the NEF's existence are when the IDC does exactly the same job. A policy question for the DTI would be, why does the DTI allow funds to be allocated to the NEF for the distribution purely on the basis of racial ownership? Because, I mean, the tax funds that are received by the DTI are not done on a racial basis. They are done on a general basis, that whoever pays tax regardless of their race, and yet they are allowing the NEF to distribute funds purely on the basis of racial ownership. Which brings me to the three points that the NEF spoke to. They spoke to about a distress fund of 150 million rand that is proudly and solely dedicated to black-owned businesses. It's a 160 million rand women empowerment fund, which was quickly glossed over, and the 200 million rand black business fund, which is also proudly for black-owned businesses. So the distress fund was also quickly glossed over, and it was more just focused on the black business fund. What I would like for this committee is a breakdown of every company that has received money from the distress fund, the women fund, and the black business fund, what the amounts were, and what the and what businesses they're involved in. I think that would be very valuable to the committee, so we can actually understand where this 500 million rand has gone to and what purposes it has been used for. Then on to the IDC. I think that the IDC has taken a very rose-tinted view to the economy and to industries that it supports. And quite rightfully, it makes the point that it cannot just simply bail out of investments that it has made because it stands to lose a heck of a lot of money. So the question then becomes is, well, you know, what study has been done, or what communication or what survey has been done with these businesses that the IDC has at times very large equity stakes in to understand what its profitability is going forward, how far it is geared, its debt to income ratios, and so on and so forth. I think that is really important for us to understand. And also, I think it would be really helpful for the committee to be appraised of the IDC's current bad debtors book per transaction. So, you know, what is it is classifying as bad debts? What are those companies? And how much money is owed to it? Because I've asked questions previously of the IDC in relation to politically exposed people, and quite frankly, the amounts are staggering that are owed by politically exposed individuals that have not paid back debts at all. So I think it would be really helpful if the IDC could make that available. And also, I would like to see, or I'd like to hear from the IDC's point of view, how do they view the incorporation of the NEF into the IDC, and where do they see the logjam or the holdup for that taking place? Thanks.
Can I ask that, Honorable Mutau?
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me welcome two presentations from IDC and NEF, and applaud the NEF with the good work that they are doing. I can see in your presentation you are doing very good on the transport sector, tourism sector in Mpumalanga and KZN, petroleum industry on women empowerment, and also applaud the NEF with the business plan that is online to assist our people to complete their applications. And then I have few concerns. I just want to check with IDC and NEF, how far is your work in the provinces? Because I can see we have few gaps, especially on reaching the towns and the rural areas. And also, I would like to say to NEF and IDC, they must improve their accessibilities in other provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mutau. May I invite Honorable Cuthbert?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I just wanted to find out from the IDC a little bit more about the work that they've been doing with the cannabis industry and also the medical marijuana industry, and, you know, if there's any companies that they're currently supporting in that field, and, you know, if they could just elaborate on, you know, the potential pipeline with Lesotho and what talks have been taking place so we can get a better understanding of, you know, how advanced these talks are, and also, you know, a broader outline of what their strategy is to tap into this market, as we've seen countries like Uruguay and the like have managed to use, you know, the production of medical marijuana and derivatives such as THC oil and the like to great economic effect. And I just want to understand, you know, which route the IDC are going on this front. Thanks very much, Chair.
May I invite Honorable Mbuyane? Thank you, Honorable Carpet. Mbuyane?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me first welcome the report. It's well presented and it's eye-opening in terms of the economic recovery. Chairperson, just a few clarity-seeking questions. I just wanted to check in terms of the SEZ, do they have any strategic partnership currently, because they are SEZ, more especially the one of agro-processing in Komazi. I just want to check whether they have secured a strategic partnership in terms of investment on that SEZ. And also, Chairperson, in terms of alignment to NDP transformation and the SME Connect, I just want the economic recovery in terms of the NDP and the transformation that is there. The other one, Chairperson, in terms of health supply, oxygen and gas, I just wanted to check whether do they have a limit of funding or a process in terms of the debt wave that is coming. Do we have any PPE companies, small businesses, gas, medical equipment that they are supplying? And if you can just indicate in which provinces are those located, because seemingly the NEF and the IDC, they are working in Joburg because it's a center care of. I just wanted to check that. Do they have any program that seeks to deal with provincial strategic economic recovers, because really they must talk to the economic of one share the issue of clothing, textile, also check if I'm the
Muyan,
of our business, and also meat.
Your voice was gone on the last one. If you can repeat that before you proceed. We actually got it was cut. If you can repeat before you move to the next one.
Oh, okay, Chair. I was talking to the issue of COVID-19. I don't know whether that one is covered. But the last one, I was talking to the issue of clothing and textile funding for takeover business. And just want to check in terms of the limit as well. Because there are screenwriters, producers, I don't know who are they being funded. And how are they funding it? Because we are looking forward for other players in the field, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Mbiyane. Secretariat, I'm not sure if ever there's any other member.
No other members at the moment, Chair.
Or at the moment, there's actually no other member. Let me just say that we would actually then ask the NEF and the IDC team to comment on the questions and comments made by members. But obviously, I think we do actually have a big discussion. We should actually have, as South Africans, in actually making sure that there's inclusive participation in the economy. And obviously the issue of the majority of South Africans, which are mainly black, and the issue as well, I think we may need to speak more on the point of the youth. There was actually a bit of issues coming through, but I think younger people are actually across racial line in the country, are actually the majority of South Africans, which I think it might be an omission that is quite serious if we don't focus, encourage, and actually ensure that they do get involved and participate in the economy. Same as the women in our country, I think their involvement and participation in the economy will be very important. Because I think those kind of initiatives, it's same as areas where they go under. You know, when you look at mining, there's actually small-scale mining. It's not actually very well coordinated by us. And when you look at that, you can see that we end up with Zama-Zama. And we have actually no sense of how that part of the economy engages and actually proceeds to function. So, which I think on my part, big sense is that black business, youth involvement, women involvement are areas which are quite important if South Africa have to get the majority of the citizens participating in the economy. Those are the areas which we may have to really, focus and concentrate on. So let me actually ask the NEF first to actually pick up on areas of comments and clarity questions, and then maybe we can move to the IDC after that. Can I invite the NEF just to speak to comments and questions that we raised by members? NEF?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I want to respond on the matter from Honorable McPherson around the NEF being merged into the IDC. Unfortunately, I can't comment on that. It's really a shareholder matter. We're operating under mandate and under an Act of Parliament. So I think maybe at some stage that should be addressed with the IDC. On some of the other points that we raised, maybe Shlengiwe can come in on the specific points. Certainly, the request for the beneficiaries of the funds that were granted in or dispersed as part of the COVID relief, we can provide that list in writing together with the amounts and the beneficiaries around that. Shlengiwe, maybe you want to touch on some of the other points as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and to the Chairperson of the committee. I think on the issue of the reaching out to rural provinces that were raised by Honorable Mumashe, we are very committed to that as the NEF, to the extent that actually in our APP on an annual basis, we have targets around deals that we do in the provinces that are normally, you know, regarded as rural provinces. So what to do in the Northern Cape and the Free State and the Northwest and Limpopo in Mpumalanga, as well as in the Eastern Cape. So we are very committed to that. We do have provincial offices, regional offices in all those provinces, but we supplement that by also allocating people in head office to the specific provinces, just to make sure that, you know, as we support transactions in the other provinces, those rural provinces don't get left behind. And, you know, we even engage with, you know, traditional leadership in instances where land is required. I made an example here of a school we did in Jozini. We engage on behalf of the you know, woman who is the owner of the business. We engage with the Ingonyama Trust to make sure that they get a good piece of land. We negotiated the lease and so forth. So we really believe that economic emancipation of the rural areas is critical for the recovery of this economy. On the issues of you know, business that have been funded, so just to clarify for Honorable McPherson, the fund that has been fully launched and implemented is the COVID Black Business Fund, and hence maybe there was more information around it in terms of what has been done. So the other two funds, we've recently launched them. We are still assessing the application, so we have not invested the money yet. So we're not just you know, glossing over it because we didn't want to share the details, but it's because we are still working on the transactions. But we already have the list of the entrepreneurs that were supported with the COVID Black Business Fund. We shared that with the DTIC. And, you know, if the honorable members want that list, Chair, I'm sure that through the DTIC that list can be availed. And once the other two funds are also fully implemented, we will be very glad to share those with you. I think the issues around why we fund Black people, I will leave that to the DTIC. But as the Chair has said, we are currently, as the NEF, you know, just implementing what the Act of Parliament, you know, entails us to implement. Honorable Dawong was also talking about, you know, the rural areas, so I've already responded to that, and our accessibility. And in terms of the SEZ from Honorable Mbuyane, we do work with the SEZ, so most of the bigger projects that we are developing from scratch, we would, you know, we try our utmost best to make sure that they are located in the SEZ, because obviously it just allows those businesses even a better chance to thrive and create jobs in those spaces. So we have not necessarily signed any formal arrangements with SEZ, but as the projects are developed, we scope around to see which SEZ will give us the best, you know, solution for the transaction we are looking at. I think, Chair, I've covered most of the issues that we raised around the NEF. Thank you so much.
NEF, Chair, I'm sure if you actually sufficiently covered your area, you can actually allow us to move to the IDC. Chairperson?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. We're comfortable with that.
Okay. Thank you very much. May I actually then ask for the IDC to take comments and or response to questions, Chairperson and the CEO.
Thank you so much, Chair. I will actually hand over to the CEO and team to deal with the issues. Chair, I believe that the matter of the merger between the two institutions does correctly belong to the DTIC, who I believe will be best positioned to competently respond to that, Chair. Safe to say that institutional capacity is very difficult to build, and I think in whatever decisions we take or government takes moving forward, I hope that that will be also taken into consideration, Chair. CEO will take us through the other questions. Chair, may I hand over to TP?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Committee Chairperson, and thank you, Chair of the Board. The points are very well made, Honourable Member Namashe, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing correctly. And as an example, Honourable Member, of our efforts to try and reach out and intensify involvement in rural provinces, I can just mention that as an example, we have a partnership that has been on the go, and recently I had a conversation with the CEO of Chris Hani Development Agency, and we are looking to join hands. They have a portfolio of many opportunities, particularly in the areas of agriculture, primary, as well as agro-processing, as well as a wide array of small to medium-sized businesses in the various towns that they serve in their district. It is a classic case of we work through and in partnership with a partner on the ground. Not only do we provide funding instruments, but also technical support programs by way of advice on projects and feasibility and due diligence work and so on. So the point very well made, let us make a commitment to demonstrate these things and demonstrate them physically. Not only Chris Hani, but what we are doing in the Northern Cape, what we are doing in Limpopo and so on and so on, so that when we update this committee on an ongoing basis, we can show tangibly and in evidence the kind of reach that we are indeed making on the provinces. You are correct, Honourable Member, that is with regard to small businesses and creating symbiotic relationships. That is why this concept or this idea that I refer to as SME Connect, a very active program on the part of the IDC of seeking to connect small businesses to large industrial enterprises, particularly where we are the funder and we can exert influence around those connectivity. To the questions that the Honourable Member asked, Macpherson, our view on the economy, what I can say is that our view is very much aligned to other economic views from, for instance, the view taken by the Reserve Bank, the views that is taken by other industry organizations in the country, the views that are taken by, for instance, economists from either the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund. So when we do our economic forecast, we look at that entire spectrum of information, and we are very much in line with that. So the specific questions around what study has been undertaken to survey the companies in order to evaluate their status. Indeed, at the advent of COVID, sometime mid last year, 2020, we undertook a formal survey. We sent out information to a large proportion of our client base where they responded to indicate the extent to which their revenues have come under pressure, the extent to which they are struggling with repayment of their debt service obligations, be it to the IDC or other institutions. And it was out of that that we designed that fund facility to support them. And in the second instance, we have offered up to now more than 800 million rand in concessionary deferment. So in other words, we reschedule their interest service obligations. They were supposed to pay us, but we reschedule it forward in order to give them breathing space. So the details are available. If we are required to do so, we can provide those details. Yes, there has been a deterioration in the impairment, what you refer to, Honorable Member, as bad debt ratios, the impairment ratios. There has been a significant deterioration in the impairment levels, whereas our prudential level as a DFI is that our impairment should not exceed 20%. We have actually seen the numbers increasing and touching 30% levels and so on and so on. So it is understood within the context of the environment that we are in. What is encouraging, however, and this is available by way of information at the IDC, is that the rest of our portfolio remains as robust as possibly can be. We have seen somewhere in the order of about 20 to 25% in terms of reduction in the repayments that we have received from our customers, our client base. So the IDC still continues to generate substantial cash inflows into the organization from the client base, despite the levels of impairment or bad debt that I have referred to. So the financial integrity of the organization remains strong. What is important is the program that we are undertaking, and it started already in 2019, of managing down our bad debt losses. It's a combination of measures where our own officials, together with external support, we intervene in the businesses, we restructure the businesses, we arrange additional working capital, maybe from the banks or other organizations where necessary. We negotiate with customers and suppliers to get better, you know, cost profiles in terms of cost of material or increased volumes of orders. Very active, a specialist team in our post-investment management division that undertakes that kind of work. Moving to Honorable Member Mutawung, I think the advisory is really well made. And I'm really getting the message that inasmuch as we have physical offices in the provinces, secondly, inasmuch as we have a team of local economic development specialists who work across the length and breadth of this country, but it looks like our reach and our presence is not adequately felt. So I take that point, and as Chairperson, please, if you allow us to indeed respond and respond meaningfully and report back to the committee about this presence and physical visibility on the ground. As I say, the structures are there, the offices are there, the officials are there, but it looks like we are not felt on the ground. I'll come to the question of cannabis, and I'm going to ask one of my colleagues to handle it, but let me speak to Honorable Member Mbuyani on the SEZs. Yes, point number one, we support all the proclaimed special economic zones. Two, the strategy is fourfold around SEZs. One is about industry planning. So in other words, working together with the SEZs and the provinces to make a determination of the best possible industries that would be
appropriate and that would be viable in a particular zone. So maybe what is relevant in the Northern Cape might not necessarily be the same as what is in the Free State, because the Free State is predominantly agriculture and so on and so on. So we are doing industry planning in partnership with the SEZ entities on the ground. Secondly, as we know, it is the infrastructure development, which is largely funded from the fiscus to build water systems and electricity and road systems and things like that. The third issue that we are getting involved in is the actual investment promotion. As we go about our work, we are constantly scouting for industries that could be located in these IDZs, and we work together with the provincial entities themselves. And the fourth area of intervention, of course, is industrial financing, and we have a big portfolio of financing already into Kuha, into East London, into the various other Richards Bay and so on, as is that where we have gotten involved. The important intervention that is coming through is that in partnership with the DTI, there is a specialist team, a project management unit that has recently, like in November, December last year, been established at the IEC, which will be the primary support mechanism to work with the provincial entities to drive the SEZ program. Our involvement in COVID, yes, has been, as I indicated, through the funding of the emergency supplies in the early part of last year. But what we are working actively now is an effort with the pharmaceutical industries to see the extent to which the major supplies can be manufactured here in South Africa. Only last week I was speaking to the chairperson of Aspen, and we were discussing, and there are all sorts of regulatory and licensing pre-requirements that need to be passed before these chemicals can be manufactured in South Africa and so on and so on. So that is an active work program that we are engaged in. There was a question about our limits and so on. It was a broader question, but let me put it this way. The prudential limit, the upper limit for a single counterparty that the IDC can invest in is quite high, because the IDC has the advantage of a significantly large balance sheet. So that number as we see today is 1.2 billion rand. That is a single upper limit investment that the IDC can put into one enterprise. But obviously the majority of the transactions are not there. I think our average transaction is in the order of 300 million to around 500 million. So the large volume of our transactions are in that magnitude. And lastly, Chairperson, yourself and Adenkosi, I heard you really clearly. As you might have seen in the IDC presentation, we have specific targets relating to building an inclusive economy around youth, women, black-owned enterprises. Very specific targets that we pursue in that regard. Can we do more? Yes, there is always an opportunity to do more. But certainly, not only do we have a strategic commitment, but we have a capital commitment. And indeed, in the third instance, we have the skills, because we have been doing this for quite a number of years. I'm going to ask my colleague, Joanne, the Chief Operating Officer, because she runs the front end of the business, to just address that question of the potential opportunities that we are seeing in the cannabis space. Chair, with your permission, if I could ask Joanne to handle that. Thank you.
In order, Joanne. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, CE.
On the cannabis side, we are actively pursuing the opportunities because we do see significant export potential for the country as well as significant job creation opportunities. It is being managed between our agricultural team that's growing the biomaterials and our chemicals and pharmaceutical team because our focus is on the medical aspect, and that is obviously subject to significant regulatory considerations. So we are working with government in looking at those regulations in order to ensure that we can enable the industry to flourish in South Africa. We're currently actively involved in projects in Lesotho, some of which are undergoing equity restructurings in their global counterparts, which could delay some of those transactions. But we are wanting to test our feet in the transactions while we try to build the regulatory capacity and enablement in South Africa. A key priority for us in these transactions is looking to ensure that we keep the economic value add on the continent. In some of the transactions we've engaged on, they're with international partners who are looking at very much the biomaterial being grown here, but the extractive value being taken offshore. And we do believe that we need to ensure that value add remains in Africa and ideally within South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you. CEO and Chair, I'm sure you've covered most of the issues. If I can actually just check if ever there are any further issues, Nadine Choto, if you're rounding up on the questions, and maybe I can go check again if our members still have issues to raise.
Chair?
Yes,
Mr. Ernst Namasha, Chair, and Mr. Cutler, Chair.
Okay. Let me go
and
back.
And Mr. McPherson as well, Chair.
Okay. Namasha, Cuthbert, and McPherson in the order.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Let me just start with the rider from the last point on cannabis. I think it is historically known that in South Africa, one of the areas that naturally produces prime cannabis would be Pondoland in the Eastern Cape. I would be interested to know the extent to which that area has been incorporated into the strategic proposition going forward, especially looking into the imperatives around localization as well as inclusive growth, as it would obviously relate to rural communities, because it's the asset that is there. Then the second part, Chair, it was just an afterthought, Chair. You know, the President of the Republic of South Africa, President Cyril Ramaphosa, will be officially opening the National House of Traditional Leaders, I think, Thursday, which is tomorrow. He does that almost every year after SONA and budget speech. I'm just thinking that going forward, wouldn't it be helpful to have some of these key strategic industrial opportunities, especially as they would talk to rural communities, if for instance what is presented here by both NEF and IDC would have been incorporated or encapsulated into what the president would be addressing to that constitutional body. And perhaps going forward, the NEF and IDC can actually see if they can't arrange presentations. Not sure whether they have done that already, with the National House of Traditional Leaders, as well as the Provincial Houses of Traditional Leaders. Maybe that would also assist in the dissemination of the information and improve the accessibility. I thought those two points, Chair, let me just make some reflections around them. Thank you very much.
Can I ask Honorable, was it McPherson?
Thanks, it was actually Honorable Cuthbert, it's fine. So maybe I missed it or my connection got lost, but it seems that we're going to go through another meeting without any further discussion on the NES being incorporated into the IDC. Well, no one's actually going to give us an update from the DTI. We're not going to sort of understand where it is. Well, maybe it's, you know, just one more meeting has to take place, or one more cabinet meeting has to take place. Because I'm starting to actually kind of get the impression, this has been spoken about for so long, that maybe there are people that don't want it to happen. And that maybe it's easier for personal reasons, financial reasons, who knows, but for it not to happen. Maybe the IDC doesn't want it to happen, maybe the NEF doesn't want it to happen, or maybe both don't want it to happen. There just doesn't seem to be any enthusiasm to get it done, despite this being spoken about for years. So I'm going to ask the question again. Can someone please tell me where we are in finalizing the incorporation of the NEF into the IDC? Thank you.
Honorable Cuthbert.
Thanks, Chair. The explanation given by the COO was helpful but rather brief. Is there any material that the IDC can share with us regarding progress in the cannabis industry, any kind of feasibility studies that they've done, you know, any kind of situational analysis on that actual, you know, industry? Just, you know, for our own personal information, if that could please be sent to us, if that's available.
Okay. We will actually pick up on further comments. Are there any further comments or and clarity questions from members? Secretary?
Not any questions from members, Chair, but Mr. Recorder has raised his hand, Chair, from the DPIC.
You mean who?
Mr. Sipo Zakode.
Oh, Zakode. Oh, okay. No, that's fine, because I just wanted to just checking on the question side. Let me actually get Mr. Zakode, and then we'll actually just check on the last comments by members and questions. Zakode?
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Yes, I think just to try and answer the questions from Honorable McPherson. I think, Jefferson and Honorable Members, you know that the mandate of these two organizations, yes, they overlap in many areas. But there was a specific reason why the National Development Fund was established. And they draw their mandate from the Act of Parliament, which Act is in line with the terms precedent of the Constitution. And that is to empower the people who were disadvantaged by the apartheid laws and policies. funding and financing, they are able to do that. And the IDC, what it reports that it has supported these people. But as part of that reporting, then it also reports that it has supported so many black people and women and youth and all these things like we have seen today. So that's where the health overlap is. But the NEM, it plays this role, really, of ensuring that even those who might not necessarily qualify for whatever reasons, you know, for funding by other DFIs, even by the IDC, they do get assistance. Because the NEM will go really into those very risky people, some of them who are classified by the traditional financial of South Africa as unbanked, and assist them and nurture them and go with them until they can run on their own. So I think the difficulty is there. And really the reasons why the NEF, you know, stood up and tried to get the recapitalization was because it was not receiving any money from the fiscals. There was one time when the NEF on its own really could sustain itself. But because of the nature of the clientele, you know, that status gradually declined. So it, at one time, it then needed recapitalization, you see, from the state. Then again, because of the financial constraints of South African economy, then the idea of the merger came about. But really, Chairperson and Honorable Members need to look at what happened. The NEF, even in those difficult times, it was able to go along, you know, and operate and do all sorts of things. So now that the fiscal is able to give it some money to run specific projects, then it's able really to survive, like I think has clearly identified. But the issue of the mandate is in the core of the whole thing, because there is always a worry that this specific mandate of the NEF might be lost in the bigger scheme of things of the works. Of the IDC. Although the IDC, yes, it funds the industrialists, the people, the women, because of all those things. But there is this other big component of the empowerment that people are worried that it's going to be lost if it's meshed together with the IDC without ensuring that, you know, that is kept even within the IDC. But the whole process right now, Jefferson, is with the Minister of the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, and the Deputy Ministers. You know, they have been engaging with both the institutions. I think we are going to get more from those engagements. But I just wanted to respond on that part that really it's not about trying to keep the NEF and trying to keep the employment of officials of NEF going. But really, it's all about the mandate of the NEF, which is still very crucial in terms of empowerment and redress as prescribed by the Constitution. Thank you very much.
Unless maybe there are further comments from members, Secretariat.
Chair, we have Mr. McPherson and Mr. Ngamashe, Chair.
Okay, Honourable McPherson and Ngamashe. Ben Ngamashe.
I think Mr. Zgode is actually becoming more revealing in his answers, and the hunch that I have that actually no one actually really wants the NEF to not be the NEF is actually starting to become more credible. But what is not credible is to believe and suggest that the fiscus is in a better place today to give money to the NEF than it was some time previously. I mean, the fiscus is undergoing massive cuts. I mean, education is being cut 100 billion rand over 3 years. Healthcare is being cut over 3 years. So we are cutting grants to the poorest of the poor over the next 3 years. And to believe that the fiscus can now sustain the NEF, I mean, I don't know if Mr. Zakhorda has actually read the budget, but if he hasn't, I please implore him to do so, because there is no money in the fiscus for agencies like the NEF, which is why it is even more imperative, and we can have an ideological and philosophical discussion whether an agency like the NEF should even exist to begin with, when there are agencies like the IDC, and also I think it's quite trite to believe that the IDC, and I think disrespectful to Ms. Mabuza, to believe that the IDC cannot cater for the mandate that the NEF exists under. There is just no evidence to prop up that argument. But I really am now becoming convinced that there are so many vested interests in this not happening, and that we're quite happy for the status quo to continue for as long as there are people that stand to earn multi-million rand salaries and you know, continue to receive grants out of the DTI, when we should be leveraging the IDC's assets and balance sheet to fund those businesses that the NEF may wish to do so. So I actually, Chair, with respect, I haven't heard any compelling reasons as to why this process continues to drag along. We have no clarity from the DTR, and in fact it's becoming more and more obvious that the only way to actually get this done is to repeal the NEF Act, and actually then to get out the log jams which keep being thrown up as to why this can't happen, and then to allow for the full integration of the NEF into the IDC, and for the IDC to do perfectly what the NEF is able to do. So I do think that is something that this committee needs to consider and needs to have a discussion going forward. Thanks.
I just wanted to check, Honourable McPherson, is this issue with the entities, the department or the minister? Who's supposed to actually give feedback on that issue?
Well, I mean, I think that that's actually the multi-billion rand question, is that no one wants to give an answer because everyone keeps fobbing it off to everybody else and keeps saying, well, it's not for me to discuss and it's not in our ambit and, you know, we can't talk about it, and well, now it's with the minister, and it's with the deputy minister, and then it's with the minister of finance, and then it's with cabinet, and then cabinet's discussing it, and then it comes back, and we get told, no, it's actually with the minister. And I actually think that this committee needs a briefing on its own from the minister to actually understand where this process is, because it's simply untenable, Chair, that we continue to be pushed around without actually any timelines of when this has been going on. And this predates your chairmanship of this committee and goes back to the Fifth Parliament. These discussions have been going on for years, and it's simply not possible that we can then be told, well, actually, you know, the fiscus can accommodate it, and, you know, without actually any urgency on this. The fiscus can't accommodate this. It's not possible. You cannot argue that we are cutting grants and cutting education budgets, but we're going to make money available to the NEF when a perfectly capable financial institution like the IDC exists to do so, while the CEO of an organization gets paid 6 million rand a year. I'm sorry, it is not an argument that can hold up to scrutiny. And without the absence of any clear plan from the DTI, it then becomes incumbent on this committee to call the minister to come and give us a detailed briefing of where this process is years after it was first
discussed. I think that we are owed that as a committee, Chair. Thanks.
So the entity realistically cannot be asked that question. The DTIC as a department should be the one that speaks to us about those issues from where we actually had the discussions before. Is that the understanding, Honorable McPherson?
Yes, it is, Chair.
Yeah. And in terms of, I think in terms of the engagement that we've just had, it might be a point where maybe we'll say, let's actually refer the question back to the DTIC, or we should actually then be able to say the DTIC and the minister.
Chairperson, if you can facilitate that, for that to happen, I would be absolutely in support of that.
Yeah, so because the last part was it, the DTI or the ministry?
Well, Mr. Zakore's last word, it's with the minister and deputy minister now. So it would seem that even the DTIC has no knowledge of it anymore, and that it now resolves is at home with the minister. So it would, I guess, be up to him now to come and tell us where this process is.
Okay. All right. Let's actually then pick up on the next issue. Thanks, Honourable McPherson. Let's actually take the next member. Secretary, you said it was actually Cuthbert.
No, not Chair, Mr. Cuthbert, Mr. Burns. Mr. Honourable Mbuyane.
Honorable Burns Ngamashe and Burns Ngamashe and Mbuyane, in that order. Ngamashe?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I think regarding the continuity of NES in its current form, or perhaps it being integrated into IDC. Well, my sense, Chair, as you have correctly put it, it would be unfair to ask the institutions to answer that question, because that question is within the purview of the shareholder, and these are institutions established by an act of parliament. So the institutions themselves, they will not be in a position to ask as to why are we still in existence. And secondly, Chair, I think in as much as we should always be prudent in terms of exercising our oversight generally, we also have to balance that with key transformational imperatives. In that, for instance, Chair, we cannot be apologetic for being proactive in advancing the cause of black empowerment, given the history of our country, and because that's actually at the heart of our policy trust. So as a matter of principle, black empowerment as a transformational imperative is very critical, and it should be an overarching transformational imperative embraced by all of us who are aspiring to achieve a democratic, non-racial, non-sexist, and prosperous national democratic society. So I think those imperatives are key, and we should all of us seek to achieve. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Mbuyane.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think Honorable Benz Namashe has covered me a bit in terms of the issue of NEF and the IDC. You will recall, Chairperson, that the NEF and the IDC is 1944 arrangement. And now in the new era of our new dispensation, new democracy, we have established NEF so that it assists black people in particular, because we are dealing with the redress. So coming here and wanting those entities to respond like their mandate were given by themselves, no, it can't be correct. The mandate was given by a parliamentarian and the rule of law that they must execute. And one way or the other, they cannot come here that, no, we will disband ourselves by next week. No. I think that question, still we need to deal with it at the level of the minister so that we look at the viability. It's not cut in stone that we must just demolish and deal away with NEF, because NEF is a specific mandate that they are dealing with. So we cannot just wrap up the NEF and come with and sustain the 1944 arrangement. Chairperson, that is my submission. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbuyane. I think we did sometimes have some discussions which were touching on some of the issues that bring the matter back in terms of discussions, because I think on the part of the engagement we're having, it's actually based on that broad black business empowerment, BBEE. That was actually one area which I think was quite important coming out of that engagement, because in terms of that engagement, that actually came up with the absolute facts which relates to the economy being in very few white hands, and ensuring that we actually create opportunity and space for more South Africans, which are predominantly black, to participate. And I think there was further adding or engagement relating to young people, because they are in numbers majority, and there's also issue relating to women. So I think in the BBEE policy side, there were challenges, and still there are challenges in terms of fronting when we actually look at the implementation of that policy. But I think it will be quite helpful, as you are raising the point, for us to actually follow through, because I think in terms of issues of NEF and IDC, it is actually historic. And I think on my part, there's actually been interventions. We may actually want to go back, look at the point of the competition, and the point which might be a challenge relating to collusion. Because when you talk cannibus has been there for years. When you talk Zama-Zama, it's actually something happening for years. But for now, it's just legalizing and ensuring that there's proper regulated space for people to actually participate. So I think let's actually agree that we will actually round up or conclude our discussion.
Okay.
Note the issues that are actually coming up. I hear someone coming through. Who's that?
Chairperson, Mr. Zikoda, raised his hand, Chair.
Oh, okay. All right. Honorable Numzane Zikoda. You can come in.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, I thought maybe I would make one correction there. When I say the DTI from the fiscal, it uses the NEM to run some specific project. I just meant that, Chair. I was not trying to
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.